Grabbing their blasters, the Blues exited the vehicle and spread out in a loose circle, plowing through the bushes and tall weeds, their blasters steadily chattering at anything they found. Soon, dead animals and birds were strewed across the ground, pumping their blood onto the dry soil. While the troops were busy, the corporal walked to the blockhouse and risked shaking one of the support columns. The steel girders didn't move.
Strong as chains! We got a winner, sir! This dish is perfect shape!
The lieutenant walked closer. Any holes or cracks?
Smooth as a whore's tongue.
Brandon pulled the map from his pocket to check their location.
Good. Now, there's supposed to be a Bigville nearby, just to the west. We find that, and we can go home.
Just then, a set man cried out and disappeared from sight. The others recoiled, and another man screamed as he slid into the dirt, the grass closing over his head without leaving a trace. His cries seemed to echo from underground for a few moments, and then there was only silence.
Muties!
The corporal fired his AK-47 in short bursts at the greenery underfoot. A gray tentacle snaked up from the ground and grabbed a second blue shirt around the chest, the thorny tips sinking into his flesh like a fish hook. Quickly, the sec man next to him fired at the ropey limb. The slugs blew a hole through the tentacle, exposing only strange, undulating fibers inside. No meat or bones. Convulsing, the gray limb dragged its captive head first into the soil, leaving his blaster behind. Brandon ran for the APC.
It's underground! Shoot the grass!
What the fuck was this thing? A plant or an animal? Both could be killed with blasters, but only if they could see it. And dirt was about the best bullet stopper there was. Some vills were merely surrounded by a wall of cloth bags filled with dirt. Arrows, bullets, nothing could get through that. A few feet underground, and the thing might as well be armor-plated for all the good the Kalashnikovs would do. The lieutenant fired his hand cannon wildly at the soil, as the others hopped about for their lives, the AK-47 spraying lead at the grass. When he was close enough, Brandon threw himself at the open doors and landed inside the wag. With a kick, he closed the door and threw the lock. A third tentacle shot straight up into view, and the corporal hacked at it with his bowie knife. The blade became embedded halfway through, and the limb was withdrawn, taking the knife. Wordlessly, the corporal retreated, and a sec man charged forward, shoving his blaster barrel into the ground while firing.
No!
The corporal hastily raised an arm for protection. The Kalashnikov chattered briefly, then seemed to expand, the breech stretching and breaking apart as the jammed weapon exploded. A flash from the blast masked the man who had fired. Then he was back, staring in horror at the tattered stumps of his arms, blood pumping from the open ends with every heartbeat. His mutilated face contorted in a wordless scream. The sec man staggered, and his pants and shirt turned red from the thousands of deep cuts in his flesh. Blood was everywhere, and he fell to the ground face first, transfixed from the shock and the pain. As if this were a signal, the field erupted with writhing tentacles. One snatched a bird hopping on the soil, another crushed a rabbit hidden in a bush. The men yelled in fear and fired their weapons in every direction. The weird limbs shook with the passage of the bullets through them, then headed directly for the source of the noise. A blue shirt near the framework of the dish was hooked and dropped his blaster to grab the metal struts with both hands. His screams increased as another tentacle caught him in the thigh, and his flesh started to rip away in pieces as the mutie tried to claim the struggling food.
Oh, you nuke-sucking bastard!
As his weakening hand slipped off the struts, the man pulled the ring on a grin and released the arming lever.
Fuck you! Take you with me, motherfuck!
The lashing tentacles hauled the sec man from sight, the loose soil filling the hole after he was gone. Then a muffled blast shook the field, and all of the tentacles shot stiffly into the air as a section of the ground heaved skyward.
Hurt you, did we? Then try this!
A private hauled a grin from his pocket. Following his lead, several of the Blues tossed explosive charges, then ducked. Thunder shook the field, and when the roiling smoke cleared, two more Sekmen were in pieces, others badly wounded. The tentacles grabbed the chunks of warm meat and took them away.
Stop that, you idiots! Davies, use the freaking cannon and chill this mutie freak!
The 25mm cannon cut loose, blowing chunks of greenery sky high, fireballs blossoming under the furious assault. Instantly, dozens of the tentacles lashed at the wag, slapping the hole with ringing force as they tried to gain entrance. Now, with a visible target, the Blues concentrated their firepower on the LAB, cutting a limb in two. As the tip fell away, yellowish fluid squirted from the stump. Suddenly, a quake shook the field, and the back end of the LAB dipped into the soil. The lieutenant and the gunner screamed from within the APC as the vehicle dropped another yard lower. The big diesel engine started with a roar, the double rows of studded tires spinning in the loose soil, trying to find purchase. The remaining SecMen rushed toward the sinking LAV, firing their blasters at the sticky soil, a few tossing grins. Cutting himself off in the middle of a warning, the corporal backed away from the scene as quietly as possible, waiting for the slaughter. Exhaust spewing, engines roaring, wheels spinning, the LAV bucked like a living thing as it tilted awkwardly, first this way, then that way. Out of control, the cannon fire swept through the defenders, blowing the SecMen to pieces. The corporal used the gory diversion to race away from the area and desperately climb up the support column of the dish until he was high in the sky. Tentacles, vines, limbs, whatever the hell they were, rose from the land by the dozens, grabbing everything, every bloody boot and severed hand. In moments, the Blues were gone, and the limbs crawled over the hull of the struggling APC, jabbing into the air vents and blaster ports, wrapping around the studded tires, the door handles, stanchions, seizing anything that offered a solid grip. Holding his breath, the corporal watched as the men inside the vehicle fought for their lives, firing through the blaster ports and shoving out friends. The electric cannon never stopped firing, the 25-millimeter shells tearing up the landscape as the machine was inexorably drawn lower and lower into the churning soil. The headlights flared on, and somebody tried to open the back doors, the latch rattling loudly. Soon the grass reached the obslits, rose over the stanchions, and then the hood, until only the turret itself was visible. As soil covered the exhaust ports, the noise of the engines abruptly ceased. Then the top hatch was flung open, and the lieutenant crawled into view. A tentacle caught him by the wrist, and Brandon fired a blaster, blowing off his own hand. Another ropey limb wrapped itself around his calf, sinking the bar deep into his leg. Openly weeping, the SecMan fired his blaster twice more at the thorny vines that held him prisoner, then reversed the weapon and fired. The bullet removed a chunk of his skull, but the dying man was still breathing, his single remaining eye staring wide in horror as the LAV was hauled below the field and out of sight. Somewhere below the rippling waves of green grass, there came a short, ripping noise of the electric cannon, using its battery power to strike at the enemy one last time. Then, a deep and terrible silence engulfed the wooded area. Dripping sweat, the corporal stayed where he was, trying to control his breathing. Minutes passed, then an hour, before he decided to risk moving. Climbing down the girders, he eased a boot to the ground and waited, ready to instantly climb back into the maze of struts at the slightest sign of disturbance. When nothing occurred, the SecMan realized the mutie had to be busy with its food, and this was his chance to escape. Gently lowering the other boot, he then took off at a run, grabbing a blaster from the ground as he passed by, angling for the imagined safety of the forest. The roots there should be too thick for the weird mutie to travel through. Rock would be better, but he was a long distance from any real mountains. The forest would do. He'd travel out of there by jumping from tree branch to tree branch if necessary, until he was far away from this chilling zone. Reaching the edge of the field, he leaped over a log and landed with a thump, then froze motionless. Shitfire! He'd made noise! Slow minutes passed while the blue shirt waited for a reaction. A soft wind moved over the field and through the trees' rustling leaves. The dish creaked slightly behind him, and a tiny scorpion scuttled over his boot and under a flat rock. Finally, the SecMan relaxed and started to walk again. He had to be far enough away from the mutie that it hadn't hurt him. Good. Now all he had to do was walk the 300 miles back to Shiloh, and his problems were over. He had found a working dish. Then it occurred to the man that with the loss of the APC, he might not be welcome in Shiloh anymore. Why not simply leave, head west, and become a mercy for some baron? No. Once Sheffield got the kite under control, he would take over the whole continent. And when he found the sole survivor of Alpha Team, The punishment he got as a deserter would be a lot worse than merely being eaten alive by any mutie. That was for damn sure. Slinging his rifle, the corporal headed due south. He had a long way to go. Hopefully, Beta Team was doing better than his decimated group. They sure as fucking hell couldn't be doing any